would you do if a man or a woman came into your home and began to tell your children lies about you and your family? They degraded, they complained, they said the family unit was not correct. Maybe they encouraged adultery, drugs, divorce, laziness, and other anti-family principles. Would you allow them into your home? This person knocked on your door and said, I'm bringing all this with me. Bringer of false values and false doctrines. So that gets me to my SPS of my sermonette today. What does the Bible say about our attitude, and what should our attitude be towards those things? People, entertainment, information, the internet, etc., that try to undermine and destroy God's truth and the church and the family. Let's first of all consider the following point. The church is in many places called a family. The analogy of a family is just all over the scriptures. Just think about it, brethren. We call each other brothers. We call each other sisters. We talk about Christ being our elder brother. We talk about God's church God's body is a church. Husband and wife of the church, one flesh. The analogies are made with that. These are all spiritual analogies. I'm not even talking about the family. The church is actually a picture of marriage and the family. So the first thing you have to consider is that the church is much like a family, very much like a family. You know, when I pray to who? My Father. You know, I'm still fortunate enough to have a living Father, and I talk to him every once in a while. But whenever I pray to my Father in heaven. He's a Father. You know, Christ is the husband. Christ is the elder brother. The church is the woman. The church is going to marry Christ. I mean, all of these principles show us that the church is very much like a family. So, second point. What is our personal responsibility towards these people? Whether it's our spiritual family, the church, or whether it's our real family. What is our responsibility towards the church, and what is our responsibility towards our family? Because they're very, very much the same. You are a husband, a father, a mother, an aunt. What would you do if someone tried to financially deceive or manipulate your family members? Try to put one over on them, to con them out of money. You know, they came into your family and they wanted to do these type of things. Let's go to 2 John and let's look at some scriptures. Not John 2, but 2 John. 2 John only has one chapter in it. So we're going to look at 2 John and we're going to look at verse 7 of 2 John. It says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. This can apply to your family, or it can apply to the church. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So the Bible tells us that if someone comes into our home, you know, someone knocks at the door, I want to bring into your family all these false values. Yeah, come on in. We're not supposed to do that. Someone comes into the church with all kinds of weird ideas. We're not supposed to receive them. The church is a foundational holder of doctrine, and we're not supposed to allow people into the church that will undermine the doctrines of the church. So we have a spiritual responsibility, and we have a physical responsibility. You know, those of us that have children, or those of us that were children, our parents protected us from things that we shouldn't have been involved in. And that applies not only to the family, but that applies to the church. So the main thing is, don't welcome these people into your church or into your family or into your sphere of influence. Let's go to Romans 16. Romans chapter 16. And we're going to look at Romans 16, which is the last chapter in Romans, and in verse 17. This can apply once again to the family, and it can apply once again to the church, or it can apply to a business organization, or to the troop of Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, or to the women's meetings you go to. Verse 17, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. It's, you know, the attitude we should have towards evil is very simple. And a lot of people, they, you know, they talk about evil and they talk about, you know, is there really evil? Evil, is it a personification? You very rarely hear the press say evil, because that implies judgment. Oh, we can't judge people. And it says here that we should be simple concerning evil. Some things are just evil. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And what should we do? Note those, verse 17, that cause divisions in your family, in the church, at your job, or, you know, your sphere of influence. Note them and do not associate with them. Avoid them. Keep away from them. Don't invite them into your home. What kind of entertainment do you have? Well, this applies to other people. It doesn't apply to me. What kind of entertainment do you... Oh, let's look at this. This seems very interesting. What kind of entertainment do you allow into your home? Not only do you allow it, but sometimes we pay to have it sent to us. So be careful, brethren. There's a lot of principles here that I'm covering, but I'm going to get to one overriding principle in a minute. And I want you to notice in Romans 16 that it is not the minister's responsibility. You know, we don't call the minister and ask him, should I be watching this? Should I be doing this? I'm thinking about having this come into my family. Should I do it? No, it's not the minister's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Your responsibility. We all are responsible for God, for the things that we do. Point number three. Although we're not in the days of unleavened bread, we certainly are following the principles of the days of unleavened bread, and we follow those principles all the time, and one of them is the leavening principle. The leavening principle. I'm pretty sure you all know what that is, because we've, all of us, I'm sure, have observed the days of unleavened bread many, many times. But the leavening principles. The leavening principle is, every year during the days of unleavened bread, we're reminded about this principle. And that principle is that a little bit of evil leavens the whole lump. You know, it just takes a little bit natural leavening, which is what the Israelites had when they came out of Egypt. You know, they have sodium bicarbonate. They didn't go down to the store, to Costco, and buy, you know, sodium bicarbonate. They let the bread, they let the dough naturally rise with the yeast in the air, because it was everywhere. It was everywhere. Leavening is everywhere, and it's a little bit. Pretty soon the whole loaf is leavened. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to look at the leavening principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know? You know, what is glorying? Oh, well, we're so righteous that there's people that are in our congregation that are sinning. And we're not talking about, you know, small sins. We're talking about big sins. You know, what would you do if you had a bank robber, unrepentant, that began to observe church services with you? Would you invite them to your home? And I can think of all kinds of people that that would apply to. Now, I'm talking about in the church. Don't take this and run all over town with it. But notice verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? The whole lump here was a church. A little leaven in your family will leaven your whole family. A little leaven in your personal life will leaven your whole personal life. A little leaven in whatever will leaven all of that. Verse 7, what are we supposed to do? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. You're physically unleavened. You need to start acting like you're spiritually unleavened. You know, it says you're truly unleavened because this was given during the, it says keep the feast, during the days of unleavened bread. So they were unleavened, but they're supposed to be truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, nor with the unleavened, with the leavened bread of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In our life, in our families, in the way we conduct ourselves. Do we conduct ourselves in sincerity and truth as we should be? And we need to be careful, you know, that stranger, whether it's someone bringing new doctrines into the church, whether someone bringing all false ideas into your family, you know, whether you got this friend that you go drink coffee with and they start espousing certain ideas. And I understand that, you know, there's a balance to everything. But the main thing is we need to guard our minds. We need to guard our minds. Notice Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 17. Matthew 16, verse 5. The disciples sometimes had what I call duh moments. Duh. You know, hello. Verse 5 of Matthew 16. Now, when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they, you know, they start talking among themselves. We don't have any bread. Is he telling us this about the leaven of the Pharisees because we don't have any bread? What's he get? You ask him. No, I'm not going to ask him. You ask. No. And they started reasoning among themselves. Verse 8, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember that, you know, if I wanted to, I could just create bread out of thin air. So it's not a matter of we don't have any bread. That's not the point. We tend to look at things physically, brethren. Verse 10, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up. Remember all the leftovers we had? More leftovers than we started with? Verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning of bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The time of Jesus, the Sadducees and the Pharisees had these teachings that leavened all of religion. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Avoid unsound doctrine, not only in your spiritual life, but avoid unsound doctrines in your physical life, in your families, especially those of you that have children. Be careful what you let into your family, whether it's entertainment, especially the internet. And I've been on the internet searching biblical topics, and pretty soon there's women in bikinis in front of me. I do not lie. That happened. Why did I get here? You know, you got to back up and go back and find out that you hit the wrong button. People on the internet are very deceptive, brethren. He's a minister. I thought, no, I'm just like y'all. Just like y'all. And so what I want you to see, the conclusion of all this, is this is our responsibility. Protecting yourself, protecting your family, is your responsibility. It's not the minister's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. You know, you're responsible for what you allow into your home, into your family. We need to not only look at this in a way that a father, a loving father or mother, protects their children, but also in what we allow into our spiritual lives. You know, it's very easy to get into the internet and you're looking at stuff and you're going like, yeah, this makes sense. I think that Jesus Christ was an alien from Mars because there's this internet site that says that. No, I'm being facetious. But that applies to lots of things, brethren. So you got to be careful that you guard your mind. It is not the church's responsibility, brethren. It is my responsibility, and it is your responsibility. No one else's. No one else's. Be on guard against people with unsound doctrines or false values. What is your responsibility? Your responsibility is not to allow anything that would be of an ungodly nature to come into your mind. In other words, guard your minds. Guard your minds. Some will say, well, what about being open-minded? Well, I heard a man say, yes, we need to be open-minded, but don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. There's a balance there. So what I want you to notice today in the sermon is that we, each one of us in here, each one of us in this seat, we have a responsibility, and it is no one else's. We live in a world that is battling for our minds. Television, entertainment, internet, who you associate with, books, people, things you see. We live in a world full of pornography, filth, false values, and unsound doctrines. What I am saying, brethren, it is that you are responsible for guarding your mind.